Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem by Avram Golder, and today we're Zekah Sukha Daf Chafav, the second parak Hayashin Takas Amita. So the three tops we're going to focus on. Number one, on the bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Beis, the Gemara brought a Mishnah from Oholos, where Reb Yehuda said, "Kol Ohel she'ena asui b'dei Adam, ena Ohel. Any Ohel that is not made by man is not an Ohel with regard to Tumah." The Gemara asks for Reb Yehuda's source and answers that he derives the Gezer Shava based on the word Ohel, for it's written here regarding Tumah via Ohel. Zos Torah Adam ki Yamus ba'Ohel. This is the law regarding a man who will die in a tent, and it's written regarding the Mishkan, the Yifros says the Ohel al Mishkan, and he, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, spread the tent over the Mishkan. Just as the Ohel in the case of the Mishkan refers to an Ohel made by man, so too here in the case of Tumah, the term Ohel refers to a shelter made by man. The Rabbanan who dispute Reb Yehuda and ruled that even a naturally formed Ohel, such as one burrowed by man, transmits Tumah, learned from the repetitive expressions of Ohel, Ohel, written in the context of Tumah, that it comes to include the law of Tumah even by a naturally formed Ohel. Point number two, the Gemara questions whether Reb Yehuda indeed holds that ko Ohel she'ena asui b'dei Adam eino Ohel, citing a mission from Parah that details how children were born and raised in special courtyards in Yerushalayim, on top of the bedrock with a hollow beneath them, so that these children, protected from birth from any possible tumas mace, would be available to draw water by the sequestered Kohen Gadol, who would prepare the Paraduma. When the time came to draw water, they would bring oxen with doors on their backs, and the children would ascend and sit on top of them. The doors served as an ohel to block any subterranean corpse tumah from penetrating to the children sitting on top, while they traveled from the protected courtyard to the spring where the water was drawn. Rav Yehuda said, "Lo yamivim d'rasos el shvarim." They would not bring doors, but rather wide-bellied oxen, and it was these oxen that shielded the children from any tumah. We see from here that Rav Yehuda rules that the naturally formed ohel formed by the oxen's back constitutes an ohel. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rav Elazar, "Mod Rav Yehuda kamali egrov." Rav Yehuda agrees that in the case of a naturally formed ohel that is large as a fist, that it is deemed an ohel. And point number three, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said there was an incident involving Tavi, Rabbi Gamliel's Eved, who would sleep under a bed, and Rabbi Gamliel remarked to the Zakenim to observe that Tavi is a Talmud Chacham and knows that slaves are patur from Sukkah. The Gemara brings a brace where Rabbi Shimon says, "Mesichaso shel Rabbi Gamliel lamadnu shnei dvarim." From the conversation I just reported, we can learn two things. We learn that slaves are patur from dwelling in a Sukkah, and that one who sleeps under a Sukkah has not fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara notes that from the fact that Rabbi Shimon used the more unusual term of Masicha So from his casual conversation, Rabbi Shimon is teaching us the lesson that was said in the name of Rav, Menayin she'avil sichas talmid chachamim sricha limud, from where we know that even the casual conversation of talmid chachamim requires study, as there are lessons to be gleaned from it, for it's stated, Vahuleihu lo yibo, and whose leaves do not wither. Leaves are the lightest part of the tree, representing a Talmud Chacham's casual speech, and they do not wither, but endure. So once again, the three points are number one. On the bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Beis, the Gemara brought a Mishnah from Olos, where Rav Yehuda said, "Kol ohel she'ena asui b'dei Adam eino ohel. Any ohel that is not made by man is not an ohel with regard to Tumah." The Gemara asks for Rabbi Yehuda's source and answers that he derives the Gezer Sheva based on the word Ohel, for it's written here regarding Tumah via Ohel. Zos Torah Adam ki Yamus ba'Ohel. This is the law regarding a man who will die in a tent. And it's written regarding the Mishkan, the Yifro says the Ohel al Mishkan, and he, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, spread the tent over the Mishkan. So just as the Ohel in the case of the Mishkan refers to an Ohel made by man, so too here in the case of Tumah, the term Ohel refers to a shelter made by man. The Rabbanan who dispute Rabbi Yehuda and ruled that even a naturally formed ohel, such as one burrowed by a weasel, transmits Tumah, learned from the repetitive expressions of ohel, ohel, written in the context of Tumah, that it comes to include the law of Tumah even by a naturally formed ohel. Point number two, the Gemara questions whether Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds ko ohel she'ena asui b'dei Adam eino ohel, citing a mission from Parah that details how children were born and raised in special courtyards in Yerushalayim on top of the bedrock with a hollow beneath them, so that these children protected from birth from any possible tumas mace would be available to draw water for the sequestered Kohen Gadol who would prepare the Paraduma. When the time came to draw water, they would bring oxen with doors on the backs, and the children would ascend and sit on top of them. The door served as an oil to block any subterranean corpse tumah from penetrating to the children sitting on top, while they traveled from the protected courtyard to the spring where the water was drawn. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Wahyamivin d'rasos el shvarim." They would not bring doors, but rather wide-bellied oxen, and it was these oxen that shielded the children from any tumah. So we see from here the Rabbi Yehuda rules that the naturally formed ohel formed by the oxen's back constitutes an ohel. So when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, "Mod Rabbi Yehuda kamali egrov." Rabbi Yehuda agrees that in the case of a naturally formed ohel that is as large as a fist, that it is deemed an ohel. And point number three, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said that there was an incident involving Tavi, Rabbi Gamliel's Eved, who would sleep under a bed. And Rabbi Gamliel remarked to the Zakenim to observe that Tavi is a Talmud Chacham, who knows that slaves are pater from Sukkah. The Gemara brings a brice where Rabbi Shimon says, "Misichaso shel Rabbi Gamliel lamadnu shnei dvarim." From the conversation I just reported, we can learn two things. We learn that slaves are pater from dwelling in a sukkah, and that one who sleeps under a sukkah has not fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara notes that from the fact that Rabbi Shimon used the more unusual term of "Misichaso" from his casual conversation, Rabbi Shimon is teaching us the lesson that was said in the name of Rav. From where do we know that even the casual conversation of Talmud Chachamim requires study, as there are lessons to be gleaned from it, for it's stated, V'ahulehu lo yibo, and whose leaves do not wither. Leaves are the lightest part of the tree, representing a Talmud Chacham's casual speech, and they do not wither, but endure. All right, so now we go to a Simur Daf Chaf Aleph, and our standard Simur is a car, which is pronounced ka by people from Boston. Once again, it's a car pronounced ka by Bostonians. So here goes. The kids in the ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels burrowed by weasels, were astonished when they saw wide-bellied oxen carrying children down to a stream, being led by two Talmid Chachamim involved in casual conversation. Once again, it's slow motion. The kids in the ka, that must be one daf chaf aleph. The kids in the ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels burrowed by weasels, which reminds Rebuta learns that kol ohel she'eno asubi de adam eina ohel, any ohel that's not made by man is not an ohel with regard to tumah from a gezer shava, based on the word ohel, just as the ohel in the case of the Mishkan refers to an ohel made by man, so too here in the case of tumah, the term ohel refers to a shelter made by man. The Rabbanan dispute Rebuta and rule that even a naturally formed ohel, such as one burrowed by a weasel, transmit tumah. They learn it from the repetitive expressions of ohel, ohel, written in the context of tumah, that it comes to include the law of tumah, even by naturally formed ohel. So the kids in the ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels burrowed by weasels, were astonished when they saw wide-bellied oxen carrying children down to a stream, which reminds us that Gemara questions whether Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds that ko ohel she'eno asui bide adam eino ohel, citing a mishnah from Parah about the children raised in purity, so they eventually could draw water for the ikon involved in the paraduma. The Tanakhama holds they rode on top of doors that were on top of oxen as they went down to the stream so they could not become tamim. And Rabbi Yehuda said, "Lohayu mevi'in durasos el shvarim." They would not bring down doors, but rather wide-bellied oxen. It was these oxen that shielded the children from any tumas. We see from here that Rabbi Yehuda rules that the naturally formed ohel by the oxen's back constitutes an ohel. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Elazar, "Mod Rabbi Yehuda kamaya egrov." Rabbi Yehuda agrees in the case of a naturally formed ohel that is large as a fist that it is deemed an ohel. So the kids in the ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels burrowed by weasels, were astonished when they saw wide-bellied oxen carrying children down to a stream, being led by two Talmid Chachamim involved in casual. Which reminds the Gemara asks, "Menayin shafil sichas Talmid Chachamim sricha limud?" From where do we know that even the casual conversation of Talmid Chachamim requires study? For it is stated, "Va'alehu lo yibo," and whose leaves do not wither. Leaves are the lightest part of the tree, representing a Talmid Chacham's casual speech, and they do not wither, but endure. So once again, the kids in the ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels burrowed by weasels, were astonished when they saw wide-bellied oxen carrying children down to a stream, being led by two Talmid Chachamim involved in casual conversation. All right, now it's time for four Blabach Hazara.
Daf Yud Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Yud Zayin is a used car salesman. So here goes.
The used car salesman, that must be run Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman who sold used sukkahs on the side with airspace and pasul schach, which reminds us that the Talmudim of Rav said in the name of Rav, Avir posel b'shlosha schach pasul posel b'arba. A strip of open airspace is posel sukkah when it's three tefachim wide, and a strip of invalid schach posels a sukkah when it's four tefachim wide. When Rav challenged them based on the Mishnah that teaches that if the roof of a house was breached in the center and one places schach on top of it, if there's a distance of four amos between the wall and the house and the schach, the sukkah's pasul, which implies that a gap narrower than four amos does not disqualify, the Talmidim answered him that that halach is based on Dovan Akuma, in which less than four amos invalid schach can be viewed as part of a bent wall. Their ruling of four tzvachim concerns pasul schach in the middle of the sukkah. So the used car salesman who sold used sukkahs on the side with airspace and pasul schach tried to convince the shopper not to take the one with airspace next to less than four tzvachim of fabric,
Which reminds the Rebbe posed another challenge that when there's a case of a strip of pasul schach less than 4 tefachim wide in the middle of the sukkah, and next to it there's a strip of open space less than 3 tefachim wide, the sukkah is kosher because there's not enough pasul schach to invalidate it. Yet, if one filled the open space with spitz or other pasul schach, the sukkah is possible because the width of the invalid material is now at least 4 tefachim. But should not the open space which disqualifies a sukkah when there's just 3 tefachim wide be as potent as pasul schach, which disqualifies a sukkah when 4 tefachim wide? The Talmid responded that if the question is valid, then Rebbe would have the same challenge in the case of a strip of invalid schach less than 4 amos wide in the middle of a sukkah next to an open space of less than 3 amos wide. So the used car salesman who sold used sukkahs on the side with airspace and pasul schach tried to convince the shopper not to take the one with airspace next to less than 4 tefachim of fabric, but to buy the luxury halacha l'moshe m'Sinai one with almost 4 amos of fabric instead, since it doesn't combine. Which reminds us, the Rebbe responded to the challenge by saying that there's no comparison. According to him, the Mishnah's rule that Dalet Amos Apostle Schach invalidates a sukkah is not based on Dofen Akuma, but it is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai shear that disqualifies a sukkah, whether the material is at the side of the sukkah or in the middle. And this strip of invalid material, which measures 4 amos only when it combines with open space, doesn't have the shear to disqualify sukkah. For since the shiurim for the invalid schach and open space are not equal, along with starfe, they don't combine to make up the requisite minimum. But according to the Talmidim, who state a shear of dal tefachim based on original reasoning that the measurement is only significant mishum hafraga because of a gap, it's the minimum that constitutes the separation, they must therefore explain what difference it makes whether the separation is made through pasul schach alone or through a combination of pasul schach and open space.
Daf Yud Ches, so the simmer Daf Yud Ches is a chuppah. So here goes.
When the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah, that must be more on Daf Yud Ches. When the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah with 3 tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spitz, which reminds us that Abai said that an open space of 3 tefachim in the schach of a large sukkah can be reduced with sticks, which are valid schach, or with spitz, which are puzzle, since the gap now lacks the width of 3 tefachim necessary to puzzle the sukkah. However, in a small sukkah, which is only 7x7 tefachim, if he reduced it with spitz, it is not effective, since the open space and spitz together form a gap in the schach of 3 tefachim. Therefore, they're significant enough to be regarded as separate from the schach, and the valid schach lacks the requisite dimensions of 7x7 tefachim. So when the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah with 3 tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spitz, was challenged by his father-in-law whether lavud applies in the middle, which reminds us there's a malchukas whether yesh lavud be'emsa. The one who says yesh lavud be'emsa brings a raya from 2 protruding koras, 2 beams in the mavi that don't meet in the middle, but there's less than 3 tefachim between them, and that works. The one who says ein lavud be'emsa brings a raya from tuma opposite a small aruba, a skylight, where the bias is deemed tahor. So when the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah with 3 tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spitz was challenged by his father-in-law whether lavud applies in the middle, the kol ran out embarrassed and hit on the porch covered in schach that had no columns. Which reminds us of one place schach on a porch, she'en lo pitzimin, that does not have columns that are placed at intervals less than 3 tefachim wide. Abai says the sukkah is kosher amrinim pi tikri yord v'sosim, because we say that the edge of the roof extends downwards and seals, meaning the edge of each porch is viewed as extending downward to form the sukkah's requisite partitions. Rava says the sukkah is possible because he holds lo amrinim pi tikri yord v'sosim.
Daf Yotes, so the symbol for Daf Yotes is a yacht. So here goes.
The adults on the homeward yacht trip, that must be more on Daf Yotes. The adults on the Chomod Yatrip enjoyed sitting on deck, in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, which reminds us, a ton of top psal yotz min a sukkah, nidun kasukka psal, referring to schach that sticks out of the sukkah, is treated like a sukkah. Ula said this refers to sticks of schach that extend behind the sukkah, and one might have thought that since its walls were initially for the interior of the main sukkah, and were not made for the extension, which is outside, one could argue the extension does not have valid walls. The Bryce is coming to teach that it is valid. Rabbi Rav Yosef said they were dealing with sticks of schach that protrude in front of the sukkah, and one wall extends along with. You might have said that it doesn't have the requirements of a valid sukkah. The Bryce is teaching us that it's valid since protruding section is not regarded as separate from the sukkah. Two more interpretations are given. So the adults on the Chol HaMoed Yatrip enjoyed sitting on deck in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, while the kids playing hide-and-go-seek hid in the sukkah that leaned against the wall. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ha'osa sukkaso k'min srif, if one makes a sukkah like a conical hut, or shesmach l'koso, or he leaned it against a wall, Rabbi Eliezer rules in either case that it's possible because it has no roof. The Chamin rule that it's kosher because they hold, shipu olim ko'olim damu, sloping roofs are considered roofs. It was taught in a brace, Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if he raised a sukkah that leaned against the wall, a tefach off the ground, or distanced it a tefach from the wall and supported with pegs, then it is kosher. So the adults on the Chol Hamoed yacht trip enjoyed sitting on deck in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, while the kids playing hide-and-go-seek hid in the sukkah that leaned against the wall, and in another one that had small reed mats that were typically for reclining. Which reminds the next mission introduced to Malchus being the Chami and Rebbe Eliezer regarding when large and small mats, machasalos, can be used as chach.
Daf Chaf, so the Simmer Daf Chaf is a cafe, so here goes.
The Leatherback Cafe, that must be more in Daf Chaf. The Leatherback Cafe, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a mission in the 80s that taught, Kol Chotzolos Metamin Tumei Meis Divi Rebbe Dosa. Rebbe Dosa says that all Chotzolos are Mekabel Tumas Meis, and the Chamim are understood to say they are also Mekabel Tumas Midras. Chotzolos are defined as leather bags. Rashi explains that shepherds use them for pillows when they lie down to rest. Rebbe Dosa holds that since this is not their primary use, and shepherds are not encouraged to lie down on the job, they are not Mekabel Tumas Midras. Reish Lakish says they are Machotzolos Mamish, real math. So, the Leather Bag Cafe, where guests occasionally sat on mats to regal and forgotten Torah from the newly arrived sages from Bavel, which reminds us of how Reish Lakish recalled Rabbi Chiya and his son's pshat in the Machos between Rabbi Dosa and the Chami by first mentioning three times the Torah was forgotten and was retaught by those that came from Bavel. The first time by Ezra Sofer, then Hillel Zakein, and then Rabbi Chiya and his sons. And Rabbi Chiya and his sons said that Rabbi Dosa and the Chami are arguing over mats that most people do not designate for sitting on. Rabbi Dosa holds that they are not Mekabel Tumas Midras, and the Chamim hold that since some people occasionally sit on them, they are Mekabel Tumas Midras. So the Leatherback Cafe, where guests occasionally sit on mats to relearn forgotten Torah from the newly arrived sages from Bavel, organized beds in their sukkah restaurant on Sukkos for really tired guests to sleep under. Which reminds us, the opening mishnah of the second barak states, Hayashin talkas amita basukkah yatsi de chavasa, one who sleeps under the bed in a sukkah has not fulfilled his chiyuv to dwell in a sukkah. Rashi explains that the bed serves as an independent oel and is a barrier between him and the sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda said, it was our practice that we would sleep under the bed in the sukkah in the presence of the zakenim, and they didn't say a word in protest. The Gemara will explain that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the bed is considered an oel arai, a temporary dwelling, v'lasi oel arai umavato oel keva. A temporary shelter doesn't supersede the permanent shelter of the sukkah. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.